Hey everybody, what's up? I am back in my truck and going for another drive. And I thoroughly enjoyed recording last episode that I released, and I want to thank everybody for the awesome feedback that I got. I was kind of impressed, actually. I didn't think that it was going to go as far as it did, and I got a lot of nice, kind messages, and I'm glad that people resonated with it, and I'm grateful for everybody sharing it and going on my page and giving me some thumbs up. That was awesome. So love you guys, and I really appreciate all of your support with this show and this project. Because without you, it's just me, and I don't want to be a crazy guy just talking into my phone. I want to be reaching out to people and having some good conversation, sharing some good ideas. I think as human beings, that's what we all want. We want a fair shake. We want to be able to create something that's ours, share our opinions, talk things out, go on a path of learning, and then everybody benefits, right? So that's what this is all about. And I figured I'd do another little rant here because I had a lot of stuff happen today. It was actually a pretty busy day. I did two podcasts today. I was featured on, I think it's called the JKD Ronin podcast. Am I getting that right? I should know the name of this podcast. Sorry, Ian, if I'm messing it up. A gentleman by the name of Ian, he contacted me. He wanted to have me on to talk about martial arts. So that podcast is pretty cool because we did talk a little bit about philosophy and life and all the stuff I like to talk about. But we also got into my story, his story, the different martial arts styles. We talked about some specific technical stuff, you know, on striking and grappling and mixed martial arts. And we talked about sparring and working out, you know, some of the stuff that I don't talk about enough, I think. And it was fun. It was a light conversation. And then right after that, I don't know when that'll be out. It'll probably be out later next week at some point. So I'll be sharing that. So keep your eyes out for it. Support this guy's podcast. He's got a great show. He's a really nice guy. He's a passionate martial artist, just like myself. So we had a really great connection. And then immediately following that, I invited on Greg Swanson. His website is mindwarriorcoach.com. So just by the name of that website, you can probably tell why I wanted to have him on my show. He's into the same frequency as me. In fact, in a weird way, I felt like I was looking at my future self talking to this guy. He kind of looks like an older version of me in a way. And he said the same thing to me. He's like, man, I feel like I'm looking at a younger version of myself. And also ideologically, and just where we're at, and the same passion that we share for bringing out the really cool and really relevant and awesome philosophy that comes from the warrior traditions of the world and the martial arts, etc. So he and I really had a good connection. And the guy, he's a survivor. He survived an avalanche, a friggin' avalanche, guys. And he tells the story, and it's amazing. And it was kind of one of the things that switched him on to helping people develop mental strength. So he works with athletes, he works with business people, he works with people that suffer from mental illness, he works with people that are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, or even just average people that want to go further in life and go on that path of self-discovery. And he's just a great guy. His energy is fantastic, very motivational. He was an inspiration to me, so I'm really looking forward to having these kind of people on the show to offer solutions and to offer things that maybe you haven't heard before, giving you some keys to the ancient past. We got into the mind-body connection. He's very familiar with like Carl Jung and Wilhelm Reich and all these great people from the West, and then also from a lot of the Eastern philosophy. We were talking some Bruce Lee. We were talking all kinds of cool things. So stay tuned for that show. That's going to be next week's episode of Truth Warrior, and I'm looking forward to releasing it. But as for this one, I'm just kind of going off the cuff here for you, unedited. And I think I'm going to do more of these just kind of every once in a while. We can go for a drive, you and I. And I hope I can bring some ideas to you. And if you enjoy it, please give me your feedback. If you don't enjoy it, give me your feedback. I'm a big boy, I can take it. And make sure you subscribe, like, share, and all, comment, and all that good stuff so we can let this channel and this show grow. So that being said, what's on my mind today? Well, there was some more action on my Facebook page. It seems like the last episode I did talking about the Las Vegas shootings, it went far and wide, and I got a lot of really kind messages, so thanks again for everybody for that. And it's good that that perspective is striking a chord with people. Looking at things in a balanced perspective. You know, I do have my own opinions on things, and I do have my own biases, but I'm really trying to make a concerted effort to give both sides of the story and both sides of the argument, because I feel like it's valuable. And I feel like there was a bit of a disconnect with some people, you know, just kind of reading the comments and things, is that people expect you to be like a religious zealot about whatever opinion it is that you have. So you are either 100% in the camp or you are against them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not against anybody unless you are an immoral scumbag that is needing to be put in check. You know, I'm not against anybody. I think we should open up a little bit more. I think we should have a more reasonable discussion about these things. And I came to that because in the past, I feel like I wasn't always the most reasonable. I think the first reaction you have when you hear horrific stories or horrific information is anger. And it's an appropriate response. There's an appropriate reaction that can be classified as an angry reaction. When you see injustice or you see something happen that you just know in the deepest parts of your soul is just plain wrong, you react with anger, and it is justified. But then the question is, what do you do with that anger? What is your next action after that? How are you going to start engaging with people? How are you going to communicate with people? So I was talking in the last episode about trying to develop the ability to communicate effectively so that your anger can be heard, but it can be heard in a much more rational, sane way where people are actually going to listen for a change. Because what happens is, if let's say you have a message you want to communicate of any kind, okay? If you're communicating in a very angry, confrontational, aggressive manner, there's only certain groups of people that you're going to attract to your work. And that can end up torturing you later down the road. Because you're doing all this work and you're putting all your passion into something, but it's a passion that is limited to one of the multiple colors that is the human spirit, right? And that can become very one-dimensional for people, and people don't really like that. And some people are very adamant about actively trying to rub people the wrong way. Like, they're actively trying to do that. And hey, that's you. That's your personality. Fine. But it's not my personality. I don't want to do that. I want to sit down like equals, like friends, like we're sitting here as two human beings having a discussion right now and talking about some very serious matters, very deep matters, very important things for a change. You know, instead of just talking about the weather and, you know, the sports and the tabloids and all that stuff, you know, it's all fine and good, but that shit just gets boring. You know, sometimes you just want to have a deep, meaningful conversation about things that actually matter, you know? And when you're engaging in that, it's kind of like, it's the spirit you bring into that conversation as to whether or not you're going to reach people, whether you're not going to be effective in what you're saying, and whether you're not going to have an effect overall. And I feel like as human beings, if we're effective at what we're doing, we're being very productive, and we're actually reaching people, and we're actually seeing progress, it encourages us, and we get more motivation, and then that gets us up the next day to keep doing it. You know, that's why I keep doing this show, is because obviously I get feedback saying, you know, in the market of podcasts, in the market of ideas, in the market that's out there, people like what you're doing. And when you get that feedback, and they're getting value from it, you know? And when I get that kind of feedback, I go, oh, well, all right then. I'm not just talking to the wall, you know? I'm not just I'm on the right track. You know, I'm reaching other people and they're resonating with it. And then they want more and you go, oh, okay, well, let's do it. Let's do more because this is my passion. So when you get the opportunity to share your passion and even sometimes the things that anger you and even sometimes the things that upset you and even sometimes the things that you just want to question and just have the opportunity to talk out loud and test the waters and see what people think. I mean, this is the beautiful thing about having these types of tools at our disposal. Like, I can just sit here driving home, hands-free, talking into my phone, into my mic, and I can put this out there. And it can inspire people to think about things in a different way. And then, or it can even, I can get feedback from people so people can kind of put me in check and I can say, you know what, yeah, I was missing that, or that was incorrect what I was saying, or I got that date wrong or that name wrong, you know, and then I can edit myself and become better at what I do. It's kind of like the reason I go and train jiu-jitsu 3 times a week and train martial arts and teach martial arts is because you get immediate feedback as to whether or not what you're doing is actually successful. Is it working? Oh, when I'm passing your guard, I'm not putting enough pressure on your hips, so you're firing up an armbar on me. And I'm getting stuck somewhere. Oh, okay. That's immediate feedback that I was doing something wrong on a technical level. I just discovered the truth about guard passing in that moment. And I couldn't have discovered it unless it was proven to me to the point where it was undeniable that I got stuck in a position that would have broken my arm because of the fact that I did something technically wrong. So you get immediate feedback on that. And then, you know, you go to the next sparring partner. You start the process again. You try it again. And this time, oh, yeah. Lower down on the hips, shut him down so he can't lift his hips off the ground. Now there's no armbar. Keep your elbows in tight to your ribs. Make sure you get good crossface pressure. Make sure your knee is in tight to his hips. Make sure you're stepping over that arm and then slicing through and then, you know, chest on chest and keeping his back pinned to the floor so he can't squirm his hips. These are little details you start to pick up and you go, oh, that's the truth. I just discovered truth for myself right there in front of my eyes, undeniable. And then I do it on another guy, and I do it on another guy, and I do it on another guy. And then it's like, you know for a fact it works and it's effective because it works on different people, big, small, stronger. You know, those scrawny guys that can squirm out of anything, it still works on those guys. So you know you've mastered that, and you know you've just proven something to yourself. Well, the same is true with ideas, isn't it? You got to do some sparring, some intellectual sparring. And sometimes you'll do it in, you know, if you're like me, I intellectually spar myself, you know, I test myself. I sometimes listen back to episodes from the past, or I listen back to conversations I've had in the past, and I'm like, or I look back at old Facebook posts. You ever do this? Oh my God. Ooh, that's kind of scary. Looking back at Facebook posts from like 5 years ago, and you're like, oh my God. You know, but that you can't beat yourself up too much because you just have to realize that you're on a path of constant progression so long as you are actually on a path of progression. You know, you're not devolving. You're still trying to learn. You're still out there doing the work. You're still going through the process. You're still allowing yourself to make mistakes. In fact, you are almost hunting for mistakes. You're hunting for little imperfections. You're hunting for weaknesses. That's the way of the warrior. To hunt for weaknesses and to face them with courage so that you can overcome those weaknesses and you can become stronger. Because it's only by accepting the fact that you might have a flaw somewhere and checking your ego at the door that you can grow. And I'm not perfect in that regard, and you know, we all fail in that. But it's you know, these are principles to strive for everybody. You know, and I'm just like you guys. I'm just like you listening to the show right now. I'm not better than you. Just because I have a podcast and I've done some research and I've had certain experiences and I like to talk, you know, doesn't mean I'm any better. You know, it just means that this is what I have chosen to do to refine myself. So this podcast project is actually a personal development tool for me. It gives me the opportunity to get feedback. And I appreciate all of it. Although I got to say, it rubs me the wrong way when I get just arrogant, ignorant people just spouting a bunch of nonsense. You know, like, if you're going to come out and check me with some respect. You know, I would do the same. But if you're going to come at me like you want to lock horns and scrap it out, well, I am game. it's on. It is on. I'm ready to go, and I kind of look forward to that. And it's kind of a sick, twisted thing that I like to do sometimes. I resist so many times, guys. You have no idea. I'm on Facebook and reading comments, or I'm on YouTube and reading comments, and I actually go to the point of typing out this whole, like, tirade rant I want to say, and then I delete it. I've had to do it. It's just because why waste time? You know, there's a few times I've just kind of I've pressed post, you know, I pressed enter. I'm like, I gotta tell this person off. Disrespectful. But whatever, right? It's just, it is what it is. But where was I going with that? I was posting today because I was furious that we've got all these articles coming out after the shooting. What did I tell you? What's the aftermath? What's going to happen as a result of this event that happened in Las Vegas? Regardless of who done it, regardless if it was one crazy nutball or if it was a trained team of assassins, regardless of who did it, what happens as a result? So either it was planned or either it's used to bring about some kind of agenda. It's used by opportunists. And who are those opportunists today? The media. CNN, Time Magazine, and a whole bunch of people have been sending me articles too, like from other news outlets. And we all know that the news is very tightly controlled. There are only a few big corporations that own all of the major media companies. What was it, like 83 different companies back in the early 2000s? And then I think it was, what, 2013, if I'm remembering correctly? I probably have an old Facebook post about this. Somebody can check me on the facts. It's something like 4 or 5 big corporations that are considered the owners. They have sort of bought into all the major media companies. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, it's all just run by one person, but it does mean that they're centrally controlled media, and that's why you see a bunch of different supposedly independent media companies all saying the same shit in different ways. You'd think if it was an open, free media with real journalism run by different corporations, because how many different news media outlets are there? You'd think there would be a lot more diversity in opinion. You'd think you'd have every opinion possible because it should be the media. It should be the journalists that go out and just collect information and put it up there and go, what do you think? What do you think about this? Here's the facts. And in some cases, they do. I mean, I share mainstream news articles when they're good. Credit goes where credit's due, and criticism goes where criticism's due. And if you're, okay, and of course, obviously I'm up in arms because I am a straight white male. And you know what grinds people's gears even more than that? I am a successful, happy, straight white male. So I am one of the oppressors. This is what's being discussed, guys. This is what is actually being talked about in university campuses. This is why at Berkeley University, they are banning people like Shapiro and Milo and all of these other people that have different opinions than the majority of the people in that university. The ideas that they espouse, which are essentially Marxist ideas and ridiculous ideas, in my opinion. Because I'm on the other side of this, obviously, that are creating all kinds of racial tension, all kind of tension between the sexes, a confusion about gender, a confusion about the history of Western civilization, a total disregard for the facts of the case, and an outright hatred of men, and specifically straight white men. And if you're a man that is on your knees to women and to all of every other culture, and you're crying in the streets, like you see these protests of like, I'm white and I hate white culture and I hate white people. I'm ashamed of my own race and my own history. I will bow before you until you forgive me. Give me 27 lashes. Give them to me now. I deserve it, even though I never did anything to you in this particular era of time. Things have happened in history. People have been killing and murdering and putting people in chains and enslavement for ever since humanity showed up on this planet. Give me a break. People from within their own race and culture have murdered each other. White people have killed white people. Black people have killed black people. There's something called black on black crime. Black people have killed white people and white people have killed black people. And you go, oh, well, slavery. All right. Totally agree. Native Americans. All kinds of stuff happened. Totally agree. But there's the other side too. The other side too. That there's been grievances on all sides. And you can say, well, it's not fair because one side always had the advantage. At certain points in history, yes. But at other points in history, no. And we're talking ultimately about what? We're talking about human beings. What about the Irish slaves? What about the Armenian genocide? What about so many other instances of slavery you couldn't even imagine? Look what happened in the Soviet Union. Look what happened in Czechoslovakia. Look what happened in... Oh my God, my wife, you know, her side of the family comes from Croatia and Slovenia, and talk about what happened with the Serbs. White on white violence there. Enslavement. What about studying Islamic history for it? Like real Islamic history. Real Islamic history. And oh my God, I am totally there when you want to get into Christian history too. I got a ton of dirt on the Vatican and all that kind of stuff. So don't think I'm ever picking on one race of people, ever. Human beings are guilty of an unimaginable crime. What was it Eric Fromm said? I think he was a Freudian. He said, the history of this planet is a history of blood soaking the earth from its creatures. A blood-soaked earth, he talked about. That's history. That's the history of the human race. Not just one race, not just white people, not just white men. And yes, have white straight men done evil things? Yes. But have black straight men done evil things? Yes. Have Hispanic straight men done evil things? Yep. Hello? What's going on with the gangs over there? How's that going? Beheadings all over the place. Going in and beheading entire families. These gangs. Where's the CNN articles on that? We got to do something about this straight Hispanic male aggression. And I'm not picking on Hispanics either. I mean, fuck. I'm just trying to point out something that nobody really wants to talk about. This is very taboo, okay? I know. I'm supposed to be on my knees crying and asking you for 27 lashes. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. How ridiculous. And by bringing up the racial card, by bringing the argument in the discussion about the problems in the world and trying to blame all of history or at least one little fragment of history on people that aren't even alive today, or no, blaming the people alive today on the acts of people that are not alive today, the acts of individuals that made individual free will choices to do horrific shit, blaming it on people that are alive today, and then those people are like, yes, you're right. I should be forever in tears and wallowing in front of you because of the fault of a small little section of psychopathic people within my racial history. And every race on the planet has those moments in history. Trust me on that one. So if you want to start pulling out the race card, we could do that. But guess what? Guess what? It's not productive, and it's not a legitimate argument, and it's distracting from the real issues, the real arguments that need to be happening. There are real arguments here, and yes, if I sound a little angry, I don't want to be shouting at you, but this is just how I feel right now. This really grinds my gears. And that's what inspired me to post that post where I was basically calling CNN and Time Magazine a bunch of ass clowns, is because I'm defending my right to live and my right to not be attacked, just like every race should. Yeah, prove your worth. Hell yeah. Racism is stupid. It's stupid. And it's stupid from both sides, from all sides. We're human beings, and there are differences between races. This New World Order shit is trying to make everybody one little honeypot of the same thing. No, you should be celebrating your racial heritage. You should be allowing that. Hey, look at Toronto. I come from a city called Toronto, a country. It's becoming like a country over there. But I come from Toronto, okay? And we have the greater Toronto area. And this whole cultural melting pot idea, in some ways, it's cool. But in other ways, it's not working out the way that they told us it would work out. So what happens? You've got Woodbridge, which is the Italians. God love those Italians. Damn, do they ever know how to cook. But goddamn, are there a lot of mafias and illegal shit going on, okay? So there's that. Then you go up to Markham. Markham is China. Okay? A lot of Chinese there. Love those Chinese. I love Chinese food. I love Chinese culture. I love Kung Fu. I have a lot of Chinese friends. Love Chinese people. But there's a lot of triad shit going on there. There's a lot of gang activity going on there. And they're all kind of in their own little cultural boundary. You kind of know. When you go to Markham, Chinese people. Right? Nothing wrong with that. It's just, I'm telling you, this is what happens. You go to Whitby. White people. Kingston, white people. Jane and Finch, Jamaicans. Love Jamaicans. I love Jamaica. I've been to Jamaica a bunch of times. Beautiful people, beautiful culture, but a lot of problems over there in Jane and Finch. A lot of problems everywhere. And there's a lot of problems with white gangs too. I'm not picking on it. I'm just saying, what ends up happening is you get these little subsections going on where all the different races flood to their neck of the woods, and they create their little boundaries. And then obviously, you know, gangs happen in all the different spots, and then they fight it out over the drugs and the guns and the prostitution. And then the cops just, you know, they sometimes get involved with it, and then sometimes they're on the take, and then sometimes their hands are tied, and the crime just keeps going on. And sometimes one group will fight it out with a gang of the same race and culture, and a bunch of people will die. And other times they'll go after another gang of a different race or culture, and some people will die. And on it goes. So what I'm trying to tell you guys is it's really not about race. Ultimately, it's about human beings forming gangs and forming teams and going to war with each other. This is just what happens. Come on, let's look at hockey. I live in Canada. Let's look at hockey. Look at how riled up people get over a game with a bunch of guys skating around on ice with sticks that have a curve on the end, and there's a rubber puck on the ice, and they're fighting over who can get that little piece of rubber in the back of the net. That's hockey, okay? I freaking love hockey, by the way. But that's hockey. And look at the rioting that happens if the team that everybody goes for loses. And I love it. You're like, oh, I cheer for the Vancouver Canucks. How many of the players on the Vancouver Canucks or the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Calgary Flames actually are native to those cities? How many guys on Team Canada are actually born and raised in Canada? How many guys on Team USA are actually born and raised in USA? But it doesn't matter. The crowd doesn't perceive it like that. They go to the hockey games. They want their team to win. My team. I'm going to wear their jersey. I'm going to paint my face the color of their team. I'm going to go get completely wasted. And then when my team wins, I'm going to go, na, 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 na. I'm going to jump on cars and celebrate and go slap a bunch of people around. And then when they lose, I'm going to flip those cars and burn them, and I'm going to run through the streets and cause mayhem because my friggin' hockey team lost. If we're willing to do that over hockey, what do you think we're going to do about our race, which goes down to the genes, man? And what do you think we're going to do when it comes to defending our culture and our religions and our ideologies that are embedded in us from our ancestors? How deep does that shit go? So I'm bringing this picture to bear because when you have something like that and you bring a bunch of different people that are cheering for their team hardcore, okay, all in the same area, all you got to do is light a match. And you will get the chaos that you want. You'll get all the chaos that you want. And you can even manage that chaos through the media. And you can even incite and light the match, causing that violence and causing that war through the media. Because it doesn't take much. Everybody's only, what, 5 meals away from revolution already? We're already on a civilization. And having this relative peace that we have here in the West is resting on a razor's edge. So don't come talking to me about we need to be aware of this very big problem that needs to be talked about. White, straight, male aggression. It's a problem. Okay, we have a problem with male aggression, but there's a lot of reasons behind that, and we can get into male psychology, and I will be breaking some of that down. And in fact, a lot of males are just missing this warrior archetype and the training that's needed and the philosophy that's needed. So that's my job. Okay? Male aggression happens to all males in all races, and there are, you know, we need men, and there are a lot of moral, good, upstanding men who are fathers, who are brothers, who are warriors, who are out there trying to do good in the world. And how dare you try to make it about that? How dare you try to put everybody in one basket just because some guy goes nuts and starts shooting a bunch of people? See, because if we were going to talk about female aggression, and actually Michael and I are going to be doing a series of shows, and we're going to be having actual female psychologists on the show, by the way, so we're not a bunch of sexists at all. I love women. I mean, come on, if you read the ancient texts, aliens came from all over the universe for the women of Earth. So I have a lot of respect for women. The true goddess tradition, the true female, 100%. But when we see this toxic feminine psychology and the way that toxic females work, and even women I know will attest to this, there is a different way that women are aggressive. There's a different way. And men are more physical, and women are more psychological and emotional in their aggression. And if you want to talk about violence, violence can be physical and violence can be psychic as well, psychological. So we can't just say, oh, it's all women or it's all men causing the world's problems. I mean, come on, there's only two sexes. You can't just pick on one. It's equal across the board. And in some cases, in some periods of time in history, it wasn't equal. There were times when men were very oppressive towards women, and there were times in history, wait for it, where women were very oppressive to men. And this is just the way it goes. So what I'm saying here is the whole idea that today in the 21st century, we're going to make this argument all about race and sex and boil it down to that and just get into this very adolescent conversation and miss out on all the facts of what's really behind all of this and accept responsibility as individuals, regardless of your sex, your religion, your race, all of that. Just say, I want to be a better human being. I want to learn how to relate better with others. I respect the differences between races and sexes and genders, but that respect must be mutual if we're all going to live together and have a peaceful society. And so don't go starting wars and base it on the race card. It's race baiting. There's an agenda behind it. There's more than meets the eye, okay? So don't just go cheering for your team and want to see the demise of the other team, because that's what creates war and the worst things that humans can do. What if instead we said, I respect the fact that you have differences from me. And if you can respect the fact that you're different from me, and we can put all our swords down in the middle, we can bury the hatchet from the past for once, instead of just reliving history over and over and over and over and over again and continuing this vicious cycle of insanity. If we can bury the hatchet and say, all right, you know, yeah, certain certain crazy shit went down with some people from my group and from your group, and there's been this, and there's violence between all different groups of people. Let's try to find a way to find the solutions, and let's look past that, and let's be bigger than that. Then maybe we can get to some solutions. Maybe. Maybe if we do that. And I don't think we're close to being able to do that en masse. Because people are very emotionally attached to their belief systems, unfortunately. So it's only going to be a study of philosophy and a study of history and an honest look at who you are and an honest look at your own personal issues that you need to work on, regardless of your background, regardless of what spacesuit you're wearing in this life. And you need to work on those things as an individual and say, forget the chaos of the world for a moment. What can I do to make my life better and my impact in the world and my footprint in the world more peaceful and more standing for righteousness and standing for good virtue? What can I do to be better? What can I do to help influence children? Going out and creating, lighting matches, trying to create wars between sexes and races and all this nonsense and trying to pick on people and say, oh, because of that one incident, now we all hate white straight males, or because of another incident, now we hate all the black people, or another incident, now we hate all the Hispanics, or we hate all the Muslims, or we hate all the friggin' Tibetan Buddhist monks. You know what I mean? Like, let's grow the fuck up already and stop this nonsense. There's been good and evil from all the cultures at different periods of time, and all human beings are capable of both good and evil. We are capable of that. So if one human being from your team decides to go on the evil dark side, we can't just go, oh, well, look at that. It's a problem with that particular identity of person. So let's marginalize them and attack them. It's bad from all sides. So avoid extremism. Call the media out on their bullshit. You know there's a bigger agenda afoot, and I can't wait to dance on their front porch one day, do a little jig when the curtain finally falls and all is exposed for the world to see. And we have a much more sane discussion happening. I can't wait for that day. So anyways, guys, that's it. Just had to have that little rant. Thanks for bearing with me. I hope I didn't offend anybody. Can we stop being offended by everything? Can we have adult conversations, please and thank you very much? I love everybody. I love everybody. And but I do have a serious problem with injustice and lies and deception and ulterior motives and crazy corrupt shit. I have a problem with that. So we're all human beings. We're all made of stars. Stop focusing on all this minute shit that doesn't mean anything. Talk to you later, guys. Love you. Cheers.